Well, good morning once again, church, and welcome. Welcome to the third Sunday of our year of victory. Amen. And the more we speak the victory, the more real it will become to us. I am convinced in my heart that this year is the year that the saints of Christian Faith Fellowship are going to experience victory in a greater measure than ever. I did not just say no about their victory. I said we're going to experience it in this world like no other time before. Can I hear a big amen? So be it in Jesus' name. So are we ready to hear this morning what the Lord has for us today? I want us to open up our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11. And I want us to read from verses 25 to 30. Charlie's not ready. He's overwhelmed with the victory. Matthew chapter 11, and let's pick it up in verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, O Father of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them unto babes. First of all, what things has been hidden from the wise and the prudent? If you back up, of course, and read the previous chapter and the previous verses before Jesus actually made this statement, you will see that he is here reprimanding those or them for not recognizing who he really was. He was trying to share with them who he was. And he was reprimanding them for not recognizing him as the one that all the law and the prophets prophesied about. You know, he's saying, you know, don't you recognize me? You know, the law and the prophets, they all spoke about me. And, you know, including then he went all the way up to John the Baptist. He talked about John the Baptist. And not only that, but for all the signs and the miracles that he had already performed in their presence. So Jesus is, you know, after reprimanding them for not knowing who he was, then he turns and he says, I thank you, O Father, that you have hid it from the wise and the prudent, but you have revealed it unto babes. They still did not know who he was. But in verse 25, Jesus gives thanks for hiding it from them. Now, I'm not going to get into that. The men that he was referring to were so-called the men who not only were wise, they thought they were wise. They thought they had the truth and they knew the truth. And how many times we can overlook truth because we have already a mindset about what we're going to believe. And even when we do hear the truth, because we're so convinced that we have the truth, well, I know the truth, that we're not willing to listen. And I think that was the case back then. They were so sure that they knew God's word, and they were the men that were chosen by God to actually represent God and share the word and share God with the people, that when Jesus came, Jesus was so different than what they had thought God was that they was like, this can't be true. He can't be who he says he is, because it went totally against how they saw God to be. And many times, you know, we can't point fingers, because many times in our own lives, we get into a rut like that. We see God a certain way and somebody else comes along and shows us a different picture of God, and we immediately dismiss it. Well, that can't be God, you know, without giving it any thought. Now, I'm not saying that every person that comes along and gives you all kinds of things about God, that you have to grab hold of it. But you know what? It's wisdom to always think and give some thought to what they're saying. And, you know, I pray that you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, as I do, and that you will know when something is of God and something is not. So anyways, here Jesus is giving thanks to the Father that he has hid it from those people, but he has revealed it unto babes. What does the word babes mean? Now, we're not talking about little babies like Charlie or infants, although filio, it does mean that, means infant. But it actually means, if you look up the word babes, it means unable to speak, simple-minded people. Or I like to say, maybe this is a better way of putting it for our to understand it, is an unlearned people. People that aren't that well learned. Okay. So even so, Father, Jesus continues on, for it's so it seemed good in your sight. In other words, this was your way, this was your will to reveal it to the unlearned. And I guess from what I said before, you can see why. Because the unlearned didn't have any preconceived ideas about God. They were open to hear and to see. Verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son, no man knows Jesus, but the Father, neither knows any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. We know that Jesus came to reveal the Father to all of us, and that's where the problem came in. What Jesus was revealing to the wise and the prudent, they didn't receive. That can't be God. Just can't be. That was not the picture they had of their God. Then in verse 28, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. You will find rest unto your souls. Now, that word souls is not necessarily referring to our hearts. Our hearts are at rest. Did you know that? Your spirit isn't going to get any more at rest. Souls mean your mind. It's the mind that is battling. It's the mind that doesn't rest. It's the mind that keeps you up at night. It's the mind that is constantly, you know, you can be completely, totally relaxed in your body, but your brain and your mind can be going all the time. So how does Jesus give us rest? How does Jesus give us rest? Verse 29, take my yoke upon you. First of all, we're gonna break this down. What is a yoke? I looked it up, and of course it means probably what everybody else thinks it means. It is a harness. It's kind of like a harness that goes around the neck of the animal, and at the end of the harness is a load, or it is attached to something that it's going to pull, going to carry, right? So that is a yoke. It's that thing that goes around your neck to pull a load, or to help you pull a load, or move a thing that is attached at the other end. So Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke. Okay, what is the yoke? We just said what it is in the natural. Jesus, of course, is not referring necessarily, I mean, Jesus doesn't walk around with a yoke around his neck, nor do you in the natural. Jesus says, for my yoke is easy. Now, we look at that and we think, oh, easy meaning easy peasy, like it's, there's nothing to it, right? But that's not what that word means. Jesus is telling us what the yoke is that you need to take upon you. Okay? So what does the word easy mean? Well, I looked it up. And it's not quite the same thing as how we understand easy in the English language. This Greek word easy means kindness. It means goodness, gracious. So Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My yoke is goodness, kindness, gracious, or grace. So Jesus really is saying unto us, come unto me, all you who are cast down with cares and problems, all of you who are heavy laden and are pulling this burden around. Take my kindness, my grace, my supply upon you. How? It tells us, learn of me by learning of me. Know who Jesus is. Know what he's done. And the more you learn of him, the less the burden is that you will carry. The more rest you will find in your souls, meaning your minds. For my yoke is easy, okay? My yoke is kindness, goodness, graciousness, and my burden is light. What is the burden that Jesus carries? What is he referring to there? Burden. The burden that Jesus carries is to reveal himself, to reveal his grace, the goodness to others, right? That's why he said to you and I, go and tell everybody about me. Go and preach the gospel, because the gospel is the good news about what Jesus has come and done for us. So is to get that out, is to get the information, to get everybody to know who he is. That's the burden. And he says, my burden is light. So the burden to reveal himself, to reveal his grace, his goodness to others, his victory is light. Light means small. In fact, it means the very least. My burden is the very least. Now he's saying, come, take my yoke upon you and my burden, for my burden is the very least. So when we come to Jesus and yoke ourselves together with him, when we come together with him, we take upon ourselves his goodness, his grace, his kindness. By learning about him, we also take on his burden. We also take on his burden. And this burden we take on, the Bible tells us, Jesus says, it's not heavy. It's not grievous. In other words, the burden in the Old Covenant was always heavy and grievous. In fact, if you read in the Old Covenant, you will see that many times the word of the Lord that the prophets came to bring the people was called the burden of the Lord. What is the burden of the Lord for us today? And usually it was judgment, right? And so it was grievous and hard, probably many times for the prophets, to share the burden of the Lord, to carry that burden. They were the carriers, okay? We know that the high priest represents the people to God, but the prophet represents the God to the people, okay? So God puts a burden on your heart. What was the burden? It was words. It was things that God wanted to get through the prophet to the people, whether it impending judgment or, but usually it was a heavy, heavy burden, because they were still under the old covenant, under the law, and under the law, if a man sin, he must die. He must pay the penalty for it, right? So their words, they were carriers of the burden of God to the people. And their words were very heavy and very hard, usually, to speak. But in the new covenant, the burden that we are called to carry is easy. It's light. It's small. It's the least. Jesus said that himself. It is very easy to be carried. In the old covenant, it was the burden of judgment. In the new covenant, it's the burden of victory that we are to carry. Or the burden of forgiveness, the burden of grace. The gospel of grace is all of those things. The burden of peace. Or the message of the good news, the message of the cross. You and I today are God's prophets on the earth. His messengers, called to carry his burden. His burden is not the same as it was in the old. His burden is victory. It's grace. It's peace. It's forgiveness of sin. That's the burden we're called to carry. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Before I go on to where I really want to go, I wanted to, first of all, explain that before I want to go where I want to go today. But I'm going to ask us a question. Did the prophets of old, or of the old covenant, doubt that the words that God had told them to speak would not come to pass? Did they stand there and say, well, you know, thus saith the Lord, but you know, I really don't believe anything that he's asked me to bring here. Are you kidding? They knew. You know, it may not come to pass right now, but it is going, you know, mark my words. God has given me this word to speak and it will come to pass. No, they never doubted the words that God told them to speak or to carry to his people. Now, granted, there was times, and the Bible tells us, that God's prophets spoke words that God did not give them. And in those cases, the words didn't come to pass. And that is why the Bible calls them false prophets. They were prophesying things that God never told them to prophesy. And we even have a few of those today. They are speaking things that God never told them to say. But just like today, we speak words many times in the pulpits and amongst each other that go totally contrary to God's word. But my point is this. Just as the prophets of old were called to be carriers of God's word to the people, so you and I also have been called to be carriers of the new covenant, the gospel of grace. We are vessels that are filled with his light and his life. Remember, we've talked about the treasure that's on the inside of us. Called of God to enforce the victory of the cross. How? Through the words of our mouth, just like the prophets of old. God's ways don't change. His message has changed, but his ways don't change. Last week we learned one thing about victory is that our faith is our victory, because the Bible says, and I believe it's 1 John 5:4, it says that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And so we learned last week that we must speak in faith. That it's by our faith that we obtain and receive this victory. And so, of course, just like in the world, it's always about how to make more money and because that's the currency of the world. In the church, it's like, how do I get more faith? How do I get my faith to work? Because we know it's all by faith. And so we've heard so many sermons on faith. I've done many teachings on faith. And sometimes at the end of the day, when you look at faith, we sometimes can be burdened down with it. Like the faith itself has become a burden. Can I hear an amen? But you know, Jesus said it's a light burden, not a heavy burden. Faith has been made sometimes to be such a heavy burden. And I remember a book I read many years ago by Reinhard Bonnke. And he wrote a book which no doubt is probably still in the library. And it was all about faith. And he said this, your faith is not the power behind your victory. It is the link to the power. And for some reason, we have kind of got that muddled in our heads. We think the faith is the power. Faith is not the power, and I'm going to show that to you today, hopefully in a way where you're going to really get it. Your faith is not the power. It is only linked to the power source. Just like, and the analogy he used was the wiring in a building. You have the electric, or you have the power source. I don't know where our power source is, to be honest with you. I don't know what power source we're tapping into. But the wiring in this building only taps into that source. And if our lights go out, you know it's either the light bulb or the wiring. We don't phone the electrical company and say, hey, we got a problem here. You're not sending any power. You know what I mean? Like the wiring just brings the power from the source into our building so that we can use our lights and plug things in and so on. So it's safe to say that the wires are just the vessels that carry the power. You are a vessel that carries the power, that carries the light, the life. You are that vessel. And your faith carries the power from the source into the natural. Faith grows in the heart. How? Through God's word. But it is released through your mouth. Okay? Faith begins in the heart, but it is released through your mouth. And simple as this may sound, we still get very hung up on whether or not our faith is really enough to get the job done. And the bigger and insurmountable the problem, the more we worry or wonder whether our faith is really going to do it or cut it. And then faith, all of a sudden, is turned into a work of the flesh. Us trying to get more faith, bigger faith, greater faith. And all of us continue to put the victory ahead of us, and we are continually striving and trying to get that great big revelation that's going to put us over the top. Now I got it. Continually looking for another revelation. Because we know that faith cometh by hearing God's word and by Jesus Christ being revealed in our hearts. And what the Lord spoke to me this week is we're missing, you know, we're always looking for the big things, but you know, God works in the small things. It's the small things that really show. You know, even in, I had a conversation with one of my daughter-in-laws this week, and she said, you know, it's not the big things that really show the love of God to you. It's the small things. Because you think, wow, God even cares about that? If he cares about this little thing, how much more he cares about something that's really important? And so God works in the small, simple things. But we're always looking for the big things, right? And I believe that, don't you think, this is where I'm coming from, don't you think that what you've already have is more than enough to meet any challenge that you're facing right now? The Bible tells us that the just live now, the just live by faith, not tomorrow. Did not God know it was going to take its time to build up this faith? Why now? I mean, now it's chartered by faith. Faith is always now. Now, I want us all to repeat this morning, I have all the faith I need. Come on, let's hear it. Because I have the faith of Jesus at my disposal. At my disposal. Last week I said that God has given Jesus a name that is above every name. Every name that can be named. Every name that has a name. Anything that has a name, Jesus' name is far above that name. Everything, and the Bible tells us that every knee will bow of things in the heavens, in the earth, and under the earth. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, in case you don't know where I'm quoting from. And God tells us, now listen carefully, God has put all things under the feet of Jesus. In other words, he's higher than all things. And given him to be the head of all things. What does it say right after that? For the church? No, it says to the church. God has placed him in a position that is high, 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 higher than anything. His name above all things, greater than anything that has a name, to the church. It's important for us to understand that. To the church. All things that God has done in Christ is done not just for the church, but to the church. Meaning, it's given to you to use. When I give something to you, it's yours. Mark 16, 17 and 18. These signs will follow them that believe in my name. In my name. What's given, what here is telling us, it's given for us to use. You will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up certain serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. There's five things mentioned there. Five, the number of grace. And it's interesting that we struggle so much with that last one. You shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. And yet, it says that by that same faith and in the same name, you will speak with new tongues. How many of us struggle to speak with new tongues? It's so simple. Laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover is no harder. It's all lumped together. These are the things. And here it says that in my name, you will do these things. That's telling us that the name of Jesus was given for us to use. And you know, we use that name all the time, even when we're not even aware that we're using his name. It sometimes becomes almost like a ritual, just like amen. We don't even stop and think about what we're saying. What does amen mean? So be it. And this week, I was praying about something in my own life, some physical problem, and that was going on. And I was quoting from Isaiah 53, you know, by whose stripes I am healed. And I was meditating on those scriptures. And the Holy Spirit impressed upon me, or my heart, this thought. And I almost kind of felt like he was saying to me, what would Jesus say or speak to you if he was standing right here in this room, right by you? And my mind went to the Gospels, where Jesus went about doing good. And whoever came to him, you know, you use your imagination and you can see Jesus in his sandals and his robes and, you know, sick people coming to him and Jesus either speaking or laying his hands on them or whatever. So we've already been given a picture of the ministry of Jesus through the Gospels. And so it was like the Holy Spirit was saying, well, if the time could go back and you were alive in the time of Jesus and you went to Jesus or he came to you, whatever, and he's standing right there, what would he say to you? What would he say to your situation or your problem, your physical problem, whether it's a problem in your body or your finances, whatever? What would he speak over you in the flesh if you had that opportunity to go to him? What would he say to you? I want you to use your imagination. Stop, think about it for a minute. What would he say to you? Well, we know that he's not going to tell us, you know, oh, I'm sorry, you got to stay this way. You know, you got to remain sick. Or he's not going to say, oh, gee, I'm sorry, I used up all the power down the street here. I have no more power left. Or he's not going to say to you, oh, gee, I'm sorry, Tori. It's just not God's will for you to be well today. You know, I don't get it either, but you got to stay sick. You know, it'll just give God a little more glory. Now let me ask you another question. We know he's not going to say any of those things, right? But how do we know what he's going to say? How do we know? Because we know him. We know what he would say, or roughly kind of what he would say. We've read in the Gospels, and we know that when Jesus was on the earth in his flesh body, he always went about doing good and healing all, not just some, all who were oppressed of the devil. Not one person was disqualified from his life or from his deliverance. And you know, when the disciples were out in that boat on the water, and I want you to use your imagination, think about the things that you remember reading about that Jesus said, you know, either to Jairus' daughter or whatever. Think about these things. Imagine yourself in that place. What would he say to me? What would he say to my situation? The disciples, when they were out in a boat on the water and a storm came along in monstrous proportions and the disciples were afraid for their lives, where was Jesus? He was asleep in the boat. And of course, they went and woke him up and said, Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing here? How many times do we run to God and say, don't you know I'm done? My life is on the line. So what did Jesus do? He calmly got up. What did he do? He spoke to the storm. He said, "Peace, be still." And immediately there was a great calm. Immediately there was a great calm. So, you know, in light of that story, come on. If he's standing right here in the flesh, observing your life, knowing all about every storm in your life, what would he say? You know what he'd say? In a nutshell, he would speak peace. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Our rest is in him. He would say peace, wholeness, health, prosperity. If you look up the word shalom, that's what it means. It means to be missing or lacking nothing in mind, body, and estate. That's your whole being, your life. Psalm 85:8. I want us to turn to that this morning. Psalm 85:8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. His people, and who's his saints? You and me. But let them not turn again to folly. What's God going to speak? Peace. Always peace. Let them not turn to folly. What does the word folly mean? Folly means foolish, perverseness is really what it means. If you look at some of the words, perverseness. What is perverseness? It means turn not again contrary to the truth. If I've spoken peace, do not turn again to the storm, not your reality. That's what this is meaning here. Are we his people? Are we his saints? Yes. Then he speaks peace to you, into your storm, into your situation. If you're sick in the body, he would speak peace. If you've got problems in your finances, he will speak peace, peace, peace. Whatever your need, peace, grace, supply. This covenant of peace and completeness and wholeness, Isaiah 54 says, I will never remove from you. It is ours through the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid for it. So we can always expect Jesus to be speaking peace into every situation in our life. I don't care what it is. He's not going to reprimand you. He is always in your presence, quick, quick to deliver you. But here's the thing, and I want to get to the point here. Here's the thing. Jesus is not here in his flesh body anymore, so he cannot speak peace over you with his own mouth. Can he? Flesh words. He cannot speak that over you right now. But, good news, he lives in you, and you must speak for him. You must speak as him. What would he say to you? He cannot speak. But you can speak the words for him. And that is what we are doing every time we speak words of life in his name. That's why Jesus said, you come along, we are co-laborers. We're just the wiring. We're just the vessel that he uses. He's not here anymore, but he needs a vessel. That's why he wanted all of us. Like when he was on the earth, he was limited to his flesh body. Now he's limited to the church. And he can be speaking through every one of us, compounding and bringing much more life, helping many, many more people. Do you understand? So every time we open up our mouths and speak words of life in his name, you've got to mentally see him just using your body. That's all you are. You're just the wire. You're just the vessel. We make it so hard. We try to conjure up faith in the name of Jesus. And I think we think that if we speak it louder or shout it crazier or more times, it's got more power. I don't know. The wiring in the building just rests and the power flows through it. I've never looked at the wiring as the, but I don't think it moves or juts or does anything. It just rests and allows the power to flow. My burden is easy. We've made it so hard. Do I have the faith? I don't know. Do I have the faith? We doubt that we have the faith. We don't have faith in our faith. You know, the devil makes it so complicated. He's done that on purpose. Because Jesus has said, it's easy. It's the least. You have the least burden to carry. He just needs. He's made you righteous. He sent his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, to live in you. So he can carry out his purpose and his plan through you. And in your life as well. And whether you realize it or not, when you speak in his name, you are taking his place. You are speaking his words of life. Just like the prophet was the carrier of God's word. And when he came in, he knew it wasn't his words. He wasn't going to be bringing those words to pass. They were the words of God. Thus saith the Lord. You know, and he'd speak words of judgment. That was his job. He was done. Now God had to bring those words to pass. It wasn't up to him to bring the words to pass. And you see, somehow we think it's up to us to bring those words to pass. Ooh, do I believe my word? You are just a vessel he uses to say what he needs to say, to speak the words of life. Be healed. Be whole. Not only to ourselves, but also to others. We are putting a voice to the life that's been put on the inside of us, which is Jesus himself. We are putting a voice to the truth that he's placed in our hearts. Jesus is the life, and he is the truth. And the moment we say in Jesus' name, we are taking his place, speaking in his place. And then by his Spirit, those words are carried out. And we rest. That's what the burden of the Lord is. That's what we've been given, which is light. The very least part. The smallest part. Because not only is it his word of life, but it is his faith that carries out that word. Remember when Jesus walked on the earth? How many times when people would come to him, or he would say to them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? He did not say, do you believe that your faith is strong enough to believe that you are healed? That's not what he said. He said, do you believe that I am able? And when we come to him, he says, do you believe that I have already done it? Of course we do. That's all you got to believe. In other words, they had faith in his faith. And you know, last week, we looked at Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour to pray. They saw the lame man who had been lame from his birth lying there. And they said, you know, we don't have any silver and gold. He must have been holding up a cup for some offerings to help him. And we don't have silver and gold, they said, but such as we have, we're going to give you. And Peter looked at him and said, in the name of Jesus, arise and walk. And they grabbed him by his hand and they pulled him up. And of course, we know the story. He leaped up and he was jumping up and down, praising God. And then, but if you go to verse 15, you know the commotion that went on after that. The people thought, oh, it was by their power. And they said, no. We had nothing to do with this. Like, they were horrified that the people were like, oh, you are like gods. And sometimes we do the same thing in the church. We see someone who's allowing God to use them. And we get this idea, we put these people way up on a pedestal, you know, like, no, it's God. And that's what Peter and John said. Hey, listen, you guys, we didn't do this by some power of our own. And in verse 16, he explains this, and his name through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is what? Not the faith which is in him, the faith which is by him. That makes a big difference. The faith which is by him. I believe that Jesus has enough faith. And I just connect with that faith in his name. I speak his word that tells me he's already done it, and his faith completes his own word. He is the high priest over my profession. He's the one who carries it out, not me. I have no power to change nothing. But I trust he has all the power. I can trust his faith. I cannot trust mine. You know, because today I feel like I'm a big woman of faith, and tomorrow it's like, oh, no faith. They only go up and down and up and down, but his faith remains the same. So it's by the faith of him, by Jesus' faith, has given this man perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So maybe I can't trust my own faith. I don't have faith in my faith, but I certainly do have faith in his faith. And in that I rest. I can rest in his faith because I know his faith is never going to fail. Galatians 2:20, we're going to close with this. It's another verse that speaks very much of the same thing. I am crucified with Christ. In other words, I've already died in Christ. Yet not I live. I'm still alive. Even though I have died in Christ. Yet not I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I, what? Underline this word. And the life that I, tomorrow I'm going to live? No, now. The life that I now live. How do I live? In the flesh. I live in the faith of the Son of God? No, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I know that there is some Bibles that'll tell you that they're not really sure what the proper wording there is, but I believe it's by the faith. I live by his faith, not mine. My little bit of faith is just trusting in his faith. That's all. That's why the Bible says, you know, even if you have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, you will say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the ocean, and it will obey you. How do you think we get to that kind of faith? It's only simply that little connection to his faith. His faith is what does it. And when we get a really a revelation, when we get a greater understanding of what I'm trying to tell us here today, oh my goodness. Victory, victory. Sometimes it's just a little irk in the way we see things. Our faith won't fail us when we feel like it don't matter. It's his faith, and his faith is never going to fail me. And whether I feel like I have no faith today or not makes absolutely no difference. So the burden that Jesus has laid on us is to speak for him. Speak and then rest. He does it. I don't. I know his word. I know his truth. I know his will. I can speak that to my body, to my finances, to my family, to my friends. And this week I was speaking this. I said, Lord, I said, there's one thing as a pastor. And trust me, I believe this. As a pastor, there's one thing I am going to begin to speak over my flock. You have given these people to me to feed, to nurture, and there will not be one feeble among them in the year 2017. That is my confession, profession. It is not up to me to carry this out, but blessed be the name of the Lord. It's his faith that will bring this to pass. And so I can rest. Thanking him continually that Christian faith fellowship is a body that is completely whole. Can I hear an amen? That is my confession, my profession, and Jesus is the one that will bring it to pass. I'm not going to ask him how, when, why. I really don't care. I release the words and I believe that they will come to pass. So our burden is just to speak words of life, so that he can continue to do good and to deliver and heal all who are oppressed of the enemy, and we just simply rest in his ability to do it. And we just rest and let him bring our enemies under our feet. We know that as long as we're trying to do it, he can't. He sits back and says, okay, if you think you can handle this. Because if you're standing on your feet working, he can't be, he can't be bringing your enemies under. You got to be resting with your feet up, and he brings the enemies under your feet. Do you understand that analogy? And so, this is going to be our year of victory. We know we've already got all the faith that we need. Don't have to be trying to get more faith, you know. That's why faith is always now. God knows the situation. We've always been putting faith on a hold, like we haven't yet arrived to that place. Well, I can't lay hands on the sick yet. I just don't feel like I'm ready. What's there to be ready? Jesus is already in you. You were ready the moment you received him. He made you holy, unblameable, righteous. You're ready. You're ready. All you got to do is speak. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word this morning.